know I can only dish it out, but not take it.
This is a true story.
So, when you make fun of me, I cry a little bit.
Internally.
No, externally. I'm like, what?
Welcome. You're tuned into the Two Kings podcast with your hosts Brian Weeks and Adam Ricker. You may now enter the kingdom.
Welcome to season two of the Two Kings podcast.
Can you believe we got renewed?
I don't believe it. I thought they were going to cancel us for sure after that interview episode. I am Big Ricker, the biggest of Rickers, founder of Big Ricker Gaming. And I am joined here in our new office, new studio,
yep,
with my partner and love in life, the bald beardy bear, Brian Weeks.
Good morning. Yes, welcome to a new year as well. We are finally done with 2020, that fucking dumpster fire, and now we're into, well, maybe a little smaller dumpster that's still smoldering, 2021.
It's definitely smoldering. It ain't quite out yet, but let me tell you, I am in full swing about extinguishing that 2020 energy, but we'll get into that later in the episode.
You're in full swing, and girl, I'm in full swish.
Okay. I'm in full swish.
Come on, 2021, let's get sickening.
2021, let's get sickening. Death drop.
So we've been on hiatus for a month and a half. The last time that we heard from you, actually, was our surprise Christmas Eve episode, which was tons of fun. And we've experienced a lot of changes, and all for the good, but we've had it's been a minute here. So babe, why don't you start filling in how we spent our holidays and all of January and half of February.
Oh my goodness. So the holidays were pretty low key for us. We had the last week of December, we were really getting ready to move across the holly into the bigger apartment. I just started my new job here in Laconia. I work out of Plymouth, but my company's based in Laconia.
The Lakes region of New Hampshire.
Yeah, I'm doing direct support again, so that's good. I enjoy that line of work. It took me a little bit to find a job down here that I actually enjoyed. I tried a couple different things. I tried a pizza place. I tried a hotel, but I guess like the way I describe it is, it wasn't fulfilling for me in a way that being a DSP was fulfilling for me. I think by nature that I'm a nurturer and I like to care for other people, despite my sassy nature. I find this job much more rewarding because it feels good to show up to work and have the people you're caring for excited to see you, especially where I'm new. There was a little bit of an adjustment period at this new job, but I've landed in a role that I'm comfortable with. It's a location that I'm comfortable dealing with. And honestly, like between us, like I've heard a lot of like, oh, this can be really hard and this can be really challenging and this happens and that happens. But, and knock on wood, of course, nothing that I've seen so far has anywhere near what I've dealt with in the last 4.5 years of my last job. And that's not a bad thing. You know, going into this field, it's
right.
You never know what you're going to deal with. But I haven't encountered anything like what I've been through with my old team.
Well, I do have an observation that I was kind of holding off until now. On the part of the reason from knowing you as I do, the why those other two jobs that you were started didn't work out for you. They're both customer service based, which is where your heart is. But I feel like they didn't work out so well for you because those two specific arenas are, it's customer service based, but they're very short, impersonal visits of when you're interacting with people. That's not the way that you're wired. You are a caring person. You need more than just, hi, here's your thing that you need, goodbye, I never talk to you again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's just an observation.
I appreciate that. I've been told that. I've been told I'm an empathic person. I openly talk about that. One of my friends that I used to work with, Don, is kind of like my spiritual guru in a way. And he's read my oracle cards and all that stuff. If you believe in it, some people don't, but I do. And he's told me, he's like, I've got a bountiful amount of spiritual gifts that I just don't know how to use. And I guess that's just more my nature, is the up close, personal, caring, empathetic kind of role. But at the same time, like, I'm dealing with people who need that, hey, this is allowed, this isn't allowed. And it's about finding that balance. Like, my thing is, I don't like treating people like they're a product. You know what I mean? Like, I like treating them like they're people. Like, whatever their past is, whatever their situation is, has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But I'm the one there dealing with them and interacting with them on a daily basis. So, as long as, you know, nothing in their care or recovery or treatment, as long as nothing's interfered, then I'm going to, you know, do my thing. And it's been working great so far. So. Yeah.
And I do feel that you are going to do nothing but find ways to harness those gifts that you have. The spiritual advisor that I had in my early 20s and stuff, we don't chat as much as we used to, but I learned a lot from her. And, you know, and she always said to me that whatever gifts that we have, you know, we have them and they're going to sit there latent, but they're not going to reveal themselves to us until they're ready, until we're ready to receive those gifts. So they're coming. You know,
got to be ready.
Exactly.
Cool.
And in the words of Chi-Chi Devane, God rest her soul, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
Exactly. Stay ready, you'll be ready.
So, yeah, we moved to this larger apartment across the hall. My goal is to apparently live in every single apartment in this building.
Yeah, this is your, there's five apartments. This is the third one that you've lived in. But when you were younger, well, you said this isn't the, you've lived in three of them, but you've been
I practically lived in a fourth one, yes. Yeah. Back in the day, 25 years ago, a friend of mine, Jason, lived in one of the other apartments, the studio, and which was originally, when I moved back to New Hampshire, that one came up for rent, and I tried to get that one, but I was like 5 minutes too late. The rental manager had just rented it, and he's like, oh, I really wish I talked to you first. I'm like, yeah, me too. But apparently that wasn't the one I was supposed to have. The apartment that I got, where my sister and kids live now, that was the one I was supposed to get, because I was like the catalyst for them taking over that apartment. And then I got the second apartment, and we live there, and now we're here, right where we're supposed to be. You know, I'm a big believer in things happen for a reason, and you know, that's the way that I am.
Fantastic. No, I mean, I'm still adjusting to living here in New Hampshire. It's weird for me to think that I'm actually homesick for Bangor. As ready as I was to get out of there, I miss my friends up there. I miss just being as accessible to things like wrestling now that it's starting to make its way back in different forms. And I miss being part of it now that I've had my break and separation from it. I spent a lot of 2020 worrying about different things in wrestling that really had nothing to do with me. And I think part of it was because where home was for me ended suddenly and tragically, in a sense that when everything kind of snowballed there in the middle of the year, the summer, end of June, beginning of July, like everything really started to snowball. We had the speaking out movement, Maine Wrestling lost, you know, three great guys.
The elephant in the room, there was also a lot of big political unrest happening at the same time.
A lot. It was the year of the unfollow, unfriend, block.
Yeah. We fought stuck in Lego from throwing so many blocks.
Lines were drawn, and it was just a very weird year. So
polarizing.
I'm not typically one of those people that deals in, I'm just going to forget about it and move on and act like everything's okay, like that moron Big Brutus, for those of you who know him. But I'm in a sense that, like, I'm willing to discuss with anybody that I've had a falling out with last year why it happened. I admit there were some falling outs where I was just like, you're an asshole, click, goodbye. Mm-hmm. And there are others I told the person exactly why. I'm not really interested in your company right now. Like, I think just there were a lot of, I think last year there were a lot of emotions riding high on a lot of different topics. I stand by the fact that I think there are people out there who just like being that negative center of attention. Like, I love Trump because it's going to get me attention in a negative way. Like, there was a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have, my thing with Trump is you look at him as a human being and you have to realize that ties into the job of being the president of the United States. Being diplomatic means you're able to cater to whatever audience it is that is under your attention. Trump had a very, you're either with me or against me approach. And that got very dangerous, as we saw at the beginning of the year when people decided to storm the Capitol. That's a whole nother subject I'm not even going to get into.
Not this week.
Yeah, not this week anyway. But you got to see that kind of thinking's dangerous. And when you're in a group of people, be it gay, black, whatever category that you want to file me under, I was not the type of person that our president wanted to support or help. And up until Trump was president, I didn't care who, like, I didn't care who was in office as long as my rights were there, that's cool. But just how everything spun out of control, and because I'm black, and something simple as saying Black Lives Matter, where really the goal is to say, hey, my life is just as valuable as anyone else's, so I don't feel like the police should be killing black people because they are assuming that this 16-year-old black male has a gun in his pocket. No, he's got his phone and maybe his wallet, and he's reaching for something, and you're like, oh, that's a weapon, bang, bang. I understand you can't take chances as a police officer. I get that. Like, you have to make judgment calls. But, like, I've also seen videos of white people getting out of their vehicles.
Right. The reaction time is going to be a lot different.
Getting in a cop's face and pointing at this cop, poking them in the chest, saying, you're not going to give me a ticket. And the cop's like, hey, calm down, buddy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
Calm down, Parker.
Yeah, calm down, Parker. Yeah. you don't see that unless you're in that group that's mistreated.
Right.
So to see a lot of people I cared about and thought were friends putting such support behind a man who garners such hate was discouraging and overwhelming. Like, obviously social media doesn't make it any better. Social media is, and I realize I'm on a podcast saying this and I use social media to promote, but social media can really, in the wrong hands, can really be just a cesspool.
It can be very, very dangerous. I agree.
It's like quicksand. You get sucked right into it too. And so I've actively tried not to spend as much time on Facebook. I've unfollowed a lot of people.
Well, I have two things that I learned this year, and one of them was, you know, that I mean, I'm not going to say that I learned that I have white privilege, because I have known that for quite some time. But the most succinct way that it was put to me, and it was something that I shared with you when it was on social media. It was like, it wasn't really a meme, but it was something saying that, you know, the difference in white privilege is when you get pulled over by a cop, the first thing a white person thinks is, oh my God, I hope I don't get a ticket. The first thing that a black person probably thinks is, oh my God, I hope I don't die today. And that was a very sobering thing. And yep, okay. That Just got the goose pimples there. Yeah. It's just, it's a lot. And then the other thing that I wanted to say real quick is I really wish I could do that. You mentioned something a minute ago. I aspire to that. I wish that I could think of Donald Trump as a human being, but I can't.
That's fair. I mean, I have no love for the man at all. I'm no support for him. But like the end of the day, like he is a human being. Mm-hmm. And I guess I look at that and I'm like, how can a human being who's alive, like, think that way? How could you not want people to be okay? You know what I mean? Like, oh,
apathy.
Why did you take this job? You're to protect this nation and the people in it.
Right.
But that's not what you did. That's not at all what happened. I mean, maybe there, and a lot of people will argue, he did this, he did that. Okay, so were there political things that maybe he did right? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a part of his job. Right. Like, it's like when I go to a buffet and, like, they're like, oh, you should leave a tip. Like, well, for the people clearing my plates, I feel like that's part of.
Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything spectacular.
What would the other option be? Well, like, tips, you know what I mean?
I was always brought up that tips were over and above service. That was not it was not the service that comes with whatever it is that you purchased. Tips are for over and above service.
I mean, I still.
Attentiveness. Like, friendliness.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I still do tip. I believe all service workers like that deserve tips. I've tipped on takeout orders where, like, I'm going to get the stuff myself. I don't know.
I've done that a couple of times, but I don't usually. If I'm picking it up myself,
I mean, I believe in that. Like, especially during the pandemic, I was the money I've spent on tips. You know, I used to order a lot of DoorDash, stuff like that.
We don't have that here, so that's calmed that right down to zero.
But to back it up a little bit here, like I was one night on my way home from work, I got pulled over, on Route 3.
Mm-hmm. In Holderness, right?
Yes. I want to say it was somewhere right in there. I had just left work. There was an incident at work, and one of the clients had an issue, and I was on the receiving end of it, so I went home for the night. And I was going, I think, 45 and a 30.
Okay.
And I saw the car whip around, the lights come on, and, like, I honestly thought, like, the very first thing I thought was I kept one hand up where it could be seen, while I dug through my stuff to get my registration and my license out of my wallet. Like, I kept one hand visible because it's nerving. Like, what does this guy think he's going to walk up on? Is an out-of-state plate with a black guy driving. And I hate that that's the first plate. I didn't want to think because the guy was super.
I hate that, too.
The cop was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, how you doing? He's like, do you know what the speed limit is on this road? I'm like, I'm unfamiliar with this area, sir.
Right.
And he goes, okay, well, it's 30 miles. He's like, you were going about 45. I know it was 45 a while back. I didn't see where it changed.
Yeah.
So he ran my information. He wished me a good night. Then somebody came whizzing by, and he was like, okay, have a good night. And he, like, practically ran into his car and, like, turned it around and went after the other person. So I see that speeding's an issue on that road. But,
absolutely, yes.
I went to that place of, like, am I going to catch an attitude and a huge ticket because this guy sees a black guy driving with no sweatshirt on, like, in the middle of January, like.
Honestly, around here, growing up here, I feel like you would be more likely to get pulled over / get a ticket for being with an out-of-state plate, not necessarily for being black here.
Oh, yeah.
As I feel like we don't like out-of-staters more than anybody with the prejudice. We're prejudiced against out-of-staters. But yeah, it's been wild. It's been a wild ride. I think we're both ready for everything that 2021 has already brought us and is continuing to bring us.
But it is, like, so far, I think it's been a pretty decent year. I mean, like, it hasn't been terrible. We've had quite a few interesting experiences out and about in public lately.
that's actually a really great thing. We should segue into that. But first, why don't we take a break for some station identification and some advertising.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. You've been listening to the Two Kings Podcast. We're going to pause for a brief intermission and then return for the second half of this week's broadcast. Thanks again for listening to the Two Kings Podcast. Now let's return to the second half of the broadcast. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that advertisement as much as we did.
Yeah. We got to do some advertisements with me on them, too.
Yeah.
These people like my silky voice.
It's a sexy silky voice. And I like it.
How you doing? Come on in. Take your shoes off. Relax. Make yourself at home. Put your feet up. Want some wine? Yeah.
As long as you're one of the queens over 18. 21. 21.
Oh, my king's over 18. How are you? Yeah, king's over 21. How are you?
So, yeah, before we went on break, we were talking about we've been having some pretty wild interactions out in public. So why don't you pick one? Because
I know which one I'm going to start with.
Babe's been compiling a list, and it tickles me to no end that like when I can tell when he's whipping out his notepad here.
Okay, I am going to just jump into it. Fast food workers and the like. You people are some of the people I see the most. I'm a big guy. It's no, they don't call me Big Ricker because it sounds good. I love right, but it does. McDonald's, Burger King, Dunkin', like y'all are the MVPs to me sometimes. And when I come driving through and I catch one of y'all's the business end of one of y'all's attitude over something, it's really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, having worked in the food industry, it can be frustrating, and things happen and whatnot, but I didn't even tell you this one.
Okay.
Which will segue into my other one. So this morning, when I got to work and realized there was nothing for me to do because they're under COVID lockdown,
mm-hmm.
and I can't be moved to other... There's, like, three different spots
mm-hmm.
to work in at the place I work at. But I'm restricted to one spot until this COVID thing's over.
Right.
So when I showed up to work in spot number two, instead, there was someone there that said, I just got off the phone with so-and-so. We still can't move people around. You know, you can go work at your spot. I'm like, well, there's already two people in my spot, and you only need one anyway.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, well. And so we worked it out.
Yeah.
So on my way home, I was going to stop at Burger King because I had a couple bucks. And I was going to get you some French toast sticks and me a little sandwich, you know, mm-hmm. or a burrito or something to hold me over.
Yep.
But I pull up to the drive-thru, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I say hello a few times, nothing. So I drive around the building only to realize that as of 7 a.m., no one has shown up to this store to open it yet.
What? They open at 6, seriously?
Exactly, yeah. Wow. I looked on the app. It said 6 a.m. You can still place online orders. All the lights in the kitchen were off.
Oh, my God.
No one was there. No signs on the door, nothing.
Wow.
There was a sign on the drive-thru that said, there is only one person running the store tonight. So this must have been from the night before.
Oh, my God.
There's one person running the store tonight. I'll be happy to take your order, but it may take me an extra few minutes to do everything.
That's fair.
Yeah. I understand. See, thank you for telling me that.
Right.
I appreciate that. There's no need to get an attitude because I'm not giving you one. Right. I understand it's stressful, but let's work through this together.
Right.
So, I mean, they could if we're closed due to staffing emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't understand that right now? I know I do. I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
everyone's running short staff. But so that happened this morning. But what also happened to you this morning is a continuation of what continues to happen at our local Dunks.
Yeah.
Is Brian gets out of work at like 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So he is able to stop at Dunkin' Donuts like as they're opening usually.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they say to you this morning? Like you pulled up and...
Yeah, so this morning I had placed an order on the app for a couple cups of coffee. And I pulled up to the speaker and there was no good morning, hello or anything. Like Dunkin' Donuts. And I said, "Hi, I have an on the go order for Robert." And she just hollers at me, "We're working on it." Like, okay. And then I pulled up, and when she threw the coffees at me, she there was no hello, no good morning, nothing. She just, like, threw the little napkins and straw at me, and, like, I saw, and I showed Adam, too, that when she went to go pull the napkins out of the napkin dispenser, she was, like, rage pulling them out, because she, like, poked a hole in two of the napkins when she was ripping them out of the thing, throws the coffees at me, doesn't even say, you know, hello, good morning, goodbye, fuck you, anything. She doesn't say anything. She just throws the coffees at me and slams the door.
See,
rude.
I don't. It's 5 a.m. I don't care what the hell's going on inside that store. No, who wants to be up at 5 a.m? Like, there's a reason we're stopping and getting coffee. It helps. And it helps.
Right.
But if you hate your job that much, if you are that angry to be where you are, don't work with people. Because now you set off a whole chain of events where I know you didn't make my stuff right because your attention to detail is probably less than available. You are treating the customer like crap when they're the basis of your company. They're like who's paying your salary, essentially. Like if your company doesn't make money, they don't have money to pay employees, and they don't need as many employees. You don't get raises. You don't get any of that extra stuff when your company doesn't do well. Why would you treat your customer base like crap? If you're going to work with the people, you need to develop your customer service voice. You have to. Like, my friend Jody Ciro is one of my best friends for, like, most of my natural life here.
Super cool chica.
Oh, yes. She, like, that's my girl. That is my sister. Like, when I have a wedding someday, like, it probably won't be a best man situation. It's going to be my best girl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just...
I hope I'll be invited to your wedding.
I hope so, too. Oh, my God. But they developed... She's a pro.
Yeah.
Because she's where I develop some of my sassiness. I get some from my mom, but I definitely get some from Jody. But I've seen her... Like, we've been mid-conversation where we're carrying on, and then someone come up to the customer service desk. Hi, how are you? Like, professional. You deal with people, you need that voice.
Absolutely.
Because to yell at them and then shove their food out the window and slam the window at them, like, what did I do to make you mad? Like, the basis of your job is to take orders from people and give them the things that they order. If you're mad about that, don't do that job.
Well, my thought was, at first, I thought, well, is she mad at me because I used my free beverage coupon to get your coffee? And there's a gimmick where you, if you, any order gets you a free medium coffee, like, because I didn't have to pay for it. Was she all pissed at me? Unless she's taking that money out of the register and not putting it in her pocket.
I can't believe they didn't pay cash.
Right. Unless that's what's happening, there's no reason for that toot.
Absolutely not. Customer service voice is key. And also working with people, like, know what the hell's going on with your products. We ordered Subway one night, and I was at 100% fail percentage to any Subway that I've ever attempted to eat. In
only the ones in New Hampshire.
Yeah, just New Hampshire. There was the one on State Street in Bangor. Some dude, like, I could tell he was a stoner dude, like... Some stoner cub dude was working there and was totally like, yo, you want some extra stuff on your sandwich, bro? And I was like, yeah. He goes, don't worry, I won't even charge you. I'm like, sweet. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you can't hit it, but sure, give me double steak. You just, oh, sorry, I hit my tray here.
You think about that cub.
I know, I was like, oh. Like, know what's up. Or, like, mobile apps, like, keep a live inventory, because we ordered on the app. Brian ordered on the app. I think I got, like, double chicken something, and he got a turkey sandwich or... No, a salad. Their new protein bowls that they...
I ordered a sandwich first.
Yes, and they didn't have something, so you got a protein bowl.
Yes, which is a fancy name for a salad.
Yeah, they're a fancy name for salad with double meat, essentially, on it. Brian gets all the way there. I missed his calls because, like, he was calling me like crazy, but my phone's forever on silent. And they didn't have what I ordered. So I was like, all right, I'll get a meatball sub instead. So he messaged me again. They're out of pretty much everything except ham and turkey. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? Brian's like, yeah, and they said they can't give us a refund. So we have to pick something. So I'm like, I guess turkey. I don't know. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter to me at this point. I'm not going to get what I want in the end, so I'd fuck it.
They didn't have the bread. They didn't have your bread. They didn't have my bread. They didn't have the meatball. They didn't have the chicken. There was some one other thing I want. I wanted. I think it was the no. They didn't have turkey. They had. I wanted like the Subway Club, the warmed up one with the bacon on it.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any of that. So I'm like, okay, I'll get tuna fish. And they're like, cool. And then they said cool to my tuna fish, and I ordered the meatball. And they're like, okay, fine, we'll figure it out when you get here. And then I get there, nope, we don't have any of that either. So I had my tuna fish protein bowl.
Oh, yeah, which was like three pieces of spinach and a scoop of tuna.
For $9.
For $9. Subway. They're bougie ass talking about this is some gourmet shit right here.
Yeah.
$9.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely penned a letter to Subway Corporate, and at 9:01 a.m., I got a call from the store manager the next morning.
The very next morning, yeah. Yep,
and he was very apologetic, and it was, and his attitude was, I'm really sorry this happened, I'll give you your money back, but also, yeah, that's what happens when you hire teenagers. That definitely qualifies as not my fucking problem.
Mm-hmm. But maybe you should teach your teenagers how to... Oh, guys, so this is what we had to do. I had to refund this customer because of your sheer incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
Write up. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm not a, I've never been a Subway employee, but I imagine that, I can't imagine that location so busy that they didn't have stuff ready. Like, they didn't want to go open new stuff.
Right.
Like, I've been there at Pizza Hut, like, and I'll admit this, and it's not my best look. When I was younger, my work ethic wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I've told customer, it's been late at Pizza Hut, and I told customers we're out of something, so I don't have to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we did the pizza rolls, those whatever they're called,
the pizzone?
Not the pizzones. They did like it was almost like taking a
like the garlic knots.
Yeah, but stuff with cheese. They
were, oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
the pepperoni and cheese. Mm-hmm. Them. They were a pain in the ass to make.
Yeah,
and it was like 20 minutes to close, and someone ordered, and they wanted like two orders of those. Which I could have easily banged out. In retrospect now, I'm like, oh, that would have actually only taken me this amount of time.
Right.
But I was like, no, we're out of those for the night. We're out of the dough. What else? And then they didn't order anything. Right. I know these. You can't tell me you don't got, like, some roast beef in a package back in the walk-in fridge. You don't have some bacon. Meatballs, I'll give you because you got to heat those up. I'll let you that pass. Yep. There's no chicken out back. There's not. You literally have nothing. So how are you opening?
Mm-hmm.
Without, like, a sign that says, we're out of half our inventory.
Right. Well, when the manager, when I went in the next morning, the manager said, because when I walked in, she didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And she walked in, and she goes, oh, just want to let you know that we're out of pickles, tomatoes, and ham. I'm really sorry. I'm like, that's all you're out of? She goes, what do you mean that's all we're out of? I'm like, well. She goes, oh, my God, you're the guy who called. I said, yes, I am. And she said, yeah, they were lying about everything except for those three ingredients.
Wow.
And I'll be the first person to admit that, you know, 10 minutes before close at the place where I work, oh, someone's looking for something that we have in top stock and it takes power equipment to get there. I'm really, really sorry, sir. We don't have anyone that's licensed working right now, but I'd be happy to have that for you at the customer service desk at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not the first person to do it, not the last person to do it. So, you know, it happens.
So I understand shortcuts, but... To pretend you're out of everything, come on.
Right, that's different. That would be like a customer coming into Lowe's and me saying, I'm sorry, we are fresh out of nails. No 2x4s, sir, sorry. Yeah.
And the one other thing before I dive into the big one there from the diner.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know where they lose the translation... Where we get lost in translation between placing an order and receiving the order. Because there's been many times where I've ordered something and I've said, I would like it this specific way.
Mm-hmm.
I want this coffee, this amount of sugar, and this cream amount of cream in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them punch it up correctly on the board, and I'm like, okay, that looks right. Yes, I literally, 10 seconds later, drive around the corner... And I'm handed something completely not mm-hmm. what I... not, and it's usually... I've been checking lately. Usually I just trust that it's right and drive off and then deal with it because I don't like making it... Believe it or not, I don't like making a scene all the time.
No.
It's exhausting. And some days I just don't
It's fucking entertaining, but it's not always.
I'm like, there are days I'm like, I literally do not have the strength to do this and argue with people today. I'm too thick to argue. I can't hear you over all this ass. But, like, I don't understand what, like, and it's not even when it's busy. Like, there's no customers in sight, and this still happens. Like, I have all the respect in the world for fast food workers because they are, a business I frequent, and I depend on their skills. I love the people who are cheery and enjoy their jobs. Yeah. Like, I will maybe make fun of it a little bit, but in reality, I enjoy that because I'd rather see a friendly, chipper face than someone who's like, what do you want? Give me your money. Slam the cash register. Here's your change. Here's your stuff. Leave.
I think we're in Bangor. Now, Adam really, like, for some reason, Adam has very poor luck when it comes to getting exactly what it is he's ordering, which is why he's discovered this. But I remember this one time I almost literally died. We were in, I think we were in Bangor, when you had ordered a coffee with X amount of cream in it or whatever, and I don't remember what the rest of it was, but your issue was the amount of cream in it, because when it came out, you put the coffee against your arm and said, that is not the right amount of cream, and I just about pissed my pants. And I'm just like, oh my God.
My favorite recently was the girl who handed me the straw, and she's like, your drink will be out when it's ready. Yeah. Or you'll be out here when it's ready. And then I was like, well, it'd be impossible for it to be out here before it was ready. Now, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Another moment where I pissed my pants. But I got you pretty good. Hi. Can I please have a large iced tea with... Can I have a large iced tea with lemon black?
I remember. Oh,
We're out of lemons. So that means that we don't have it. I can't put any lemon in your drink. Really? Thank you for the clarification that that is what that means. Thank you. Well, do you still want the iced tea? Yeah. Yeah, still thirsty. Thanks.
Still thirsty. No lemon. Well, that's no. It. I guess I'm going
to... Fuck your tea. There's no lemon. I don't know.
Guess I'm not getting anything to drink today. All
right. Right. Jesus Christ.
But a big one for me, too, and this is going to tie into my feelings about the pandemic, which I'll probably close with towards the end of this episode. We go out to breakfast a lot, and we like to go to different new places. I like to see what's around.
Yeah.
So Brian took me to a place in Laconia.
Yes, it was in Laconia.
I'm not gonna say the business name because it's not really their fault, but we go into this place and there's two families in there in separate booths across the aisle from each other. And they are all carrying on like you wouldn't believe.
They were in three booths at first.
Yeah, they were in three booths at first. They had a screaming kid who everyone instead, like, the dad tried walking the kid around, which just brought the noise around. I mean, the kid was straight up just, And everyone's like, "Oh, he's sad because he didn't get his eggs." Oh.
And I'm like, "Where's the fucking fire? Someone stop that siren!"
So they're ignoring it and they're just yelling across at each other in the aisles,
standing up, moving around.
The thing that got me the most is I've watched this lady. Okay, I watched this lady pick her teeth and pull a piece of meat or something out of it, and she just flicked it. Like, flicked it away out into the universe. Now, normally, bitch, we're in a pandemic. If I'm sitting at my table and you happen to flick a piece of meat and your meat come flying across the restaurant and land on my plate, you're catching this plate in the face. I will slap you with my corned beef. Like, I'm not even messing around. Like, that's so disgusting.
It is.
But, like, the disgusting part was it landed in her husband's shirt. So he's like, I felt that. Like, he goes, what the... She goes, and I heard her try to whisper, but she didn't have a whisper voice. Like, she covered her mouth, and she's like, I flicked that meat out of my teeth and landed in your shirt. I'm like, you're not whispering, bitch. Like, what? Come on. But, like, we're in a pandemic, y'all. Can you not flick the bits of food stuck in your teeth out into the universe, please?
And, yeah, it's classy as fuck.
The lady, like... They obviously, it was like family visiting from out of state because they were talking about getting home before the big storm comes.
Yeah.
But, like, you could tell, like, there was the, the matriarch.
Matriarch, yep.
The head matriarch of the family visiting with her combat boots, shorts, and
Tweety Bird
and her crop top or whatever it was, her Tweety Bird self-made crop top with her hair up in some kind of like curly thing. Afro bun thing. I don't know. But she was loud. And then these people come storming out of the restaurant on their way out, all hugging and kissing each other, the waitress included. Someone from the kitchen staff came out to say hello. Nobody's wearing masks during this entire process except the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's just around breathing on each other. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, I know, I understand how it is to get into a comfortable environment and not want to wear your masks and stuff, but this pandemic is not over yet. And this is the kind of stuff that people, like, why people are still getting sick. I work in a location right now. I'm not obviously getting into details and stuff, but I have been around COVID positive people for the last 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks even. I've worn all my PPE like I'm supposed to. I am vaccinated also, but I am still testing negative for this virus, and it's because I'm wearing a mask. A lot of the other staff I work with and all the clients I work with have all tested positive at some point, and I am not. I'm still getting the results that I'm negative. I've been tested 3 times in the last 2.5 weeks, mm-hmm. negative. I've seen people have it. I've seen I know somebody who went on it. They had to be on oxygen at home for a while. I've known people who have passed away from complications of it. Mm-hmm. I know people who have gotten really sick because of it. And suffered the side effects. It's real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a government thing. It's not like, oh, you're all sheep for believing in this. It's real. And mm-hmm. some people are never going to show the symptoms. I know people who've tested positive more than once, never showed a single symptom. It's out there. And just the courtesy to wear a piece of fabric over your mouth from the table to the door is not that much to ask.
No, it's not. We've been doing it for a year. Like, what is the...
Hello? No, nobody hears what they want to hear. They hear what they want to hear about it. It's like, oh, please wear your mask from the time you walk in here to the time you sit at your table. And people don't do that. And they don't do... Like, when we went to that other diner we frequent, and then, like, 18 parties or whatever. No, what was it? Like,
8... It was a group of 25. It was, it was 20... No, 24, because it was 6 tables of 4.
Yeah, they did 6 tables of 4 in a small local diner.
Without calling first at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
Yeah, and they were just able... They had to break everybody up by mm-hmm. 4. And play, but now, like, we are literally in a packed full restaurant of people all commingling amongst each other, walking to each other's tables with no mask. Like, I straight up looked at this one family who happened to glance over at me, and I put my mask on sitting at the table while I wasn't drinking or eating anything, because I'm like,
mm-hmm.
it's ridiculous. Like, I get it. If you don't want to wear your mask, don't go to a place that requires it, because it's not your God-given right, it's not your American right to patronize and break the policy of any private business.
Right.
Like, if I had a corner store and you walked in and said, I'm just grabbing some cigarettes real quick, well, you're not grabbing those cigarettes unless you got a mask on your face. Mm-hmm. And you can stand here and argue with me about it all day. You're not leaving here with the cigarettes unless you have a mask on your face for this transaction. That is the policy of my store. The policy of all these other stores, like grocery stores and whatnot, they'll be like, yep, here's a mask. Oh, I don't wear those. Okay, well, then you don't shop here.
Right.
Like, you got to understand your rights don't mean you can go into any business that you want against their policy. It's like the no shirt, no shoes, no service rule. Right. If you walk into a place with no shirt on in the summertime because you think, you know, oh, I'm hot shit, and they're like, we can't serve you because you're shirtless, that's the same exact policy.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact policy. It has nothing to do with the virus. They're saying you're wearing a mask. That's part of the policy. That's all you need to know.
Exactly.
So, I know a lot of people that are listening to this do wear their masks responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not everyone, but you got to understand the difference between your freedoms and your rights and the freedoms and rights of a private business.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So... That's basically that. Like, there's just a whole lot of that, and it's frustrating to see. I'm getting more and more vocal about it. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble one of these days. But I just can't stand that. Like, wear your masks, guys. Like, I don't want to be wearing it any either, but the longer that this continues to spread, the longer it's going to be a requirement. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, let me just take a moment to grind gears, switch gears just for a moment. Why don't we each have a couple, we each have a side projects that we are, that we're focusing on as well a little bit in the new year. And why don't you tell us a little bit, we've heard about it before, but what's new with Big Ricker Gaming?
With Big Ricker Gaming, we're starting to get into some, we're really supporting other, it's about supporting people I know who are also streaming and also doing their own ventures. I'm really big into supporting my friend Billy Vox.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a project right now called Vox Talks. He does live streams from his arcade at home.
Very cool, by the way.
Yeah, which is awesome. I can't wait to get up there and play. We're going to be doing a collaboration at Fun Spot here in New Hampshire, probably close to the end of the month. We're going to wait till everyone's vaccinated and... Or the two of us are vaccinated and we can be in close contact.
He'll be vaccinated.
Vaccinated. but, you know, check out, it's V-A-U-X, Vox, Talks. Does a lot of, like I said, arcade streaming. The Simpsons, NBA Jam, Mortal Kombat, just to name a few. He does modifications on arcade machines, the 1-Up arcade machines that you can buy through GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a tremendous job with it. Everything's very, like, he's got a whole lighting setup, and he's a fun guy. I'm also collaborating with Super Kick Gaming, which is in honor of our friend Mark Godfrey, who passed away in August of last year. He passed away to his disease that affected his kidneys. But he was a superhero to all of us, and... in wrestling, that was his move. He did the super kick. So our buddy Neil has started Super Kick Gaming. He does some streams of, like, Call of Duty and whatnot. Neil's been a huge supporter of Big Ricker Gaming. I'm back on the multi-stream right now, trying to get a regular schedule going. It's so hard with work and the crisis we're dealing with right now. But I'm trying, kind of switching gears. I'm going to be streaming some different games. Seeing what works and what doesn't. I'm trying to get away from the Call of Duty. That may still appear, but it's not going to be my focus anymore. So we're expanding our interests. I actually even hoping to bring VR to the stream as Brian surprised me with my Oculus Quest 2.
Yes,
surprise. So I'm going to be getting a Link cable and getting it set up to stream. So you'll be able to see what I see in virtual reality. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to play with that at some point. Yeah. Sometime. I mean, because I'll probably get motion sickness or something from it. But
yeah, you'd probably want to just sit and use it.
Probably.
Because when you stand, you...
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a hard enough time standing up on my own. So.
What are you going at? What are you getting into? You got a huge solo project.
It's starting this Tuesday, the 16th, actually. I have a new solo podcast coming. And it is called... Currently Obsessed, and it is pretty self-explanatory. It is every week I'm going to be grabbing a cocktail, sitting down and discussing what I am currently obsessed with. It's primarily a pop culture podcast because that is most of the things that really, you know, turn me on in a not literal way, in a hypothetical way. No, figurative.
Well, Dios mío.
Yeah. The stuff that I'm really, really into... and also stuff that I was into a long time ago, but rediscovered, and, you know, music, television, movies, whatever. It could even be, you know, oh, I went to the grocery store today and I found this new flavor of Oreos and they slap and I want to tell you about them. You know, like it could be literally anything of stuff that I'm really into right now. And because anyone that knows me knows that what I'm into changes probably on a weekly basis. That's about how often it comes out. So that's going to be coming every Tuesday at 9 a.m. And along with our new time slot, which if you're listening to it, you obviously know our new time slot is 9 a.m. on Saturdays for the Two Kings podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, that's what I've got. I've got the new podcast coming on Tuesdays.
That's great.
Yep.
I've Heard a preview of it. I'm excited to listen to the whole thing on Tuesday. Because I know, like, you wanted to play the whole thing for me, but I really wanted to, I wanted to experience it like everyone else is going to get to experience it.
No, that's great.
Also, like, this is our new season, so, I mean, if there's any pressing topics out there that you want to know what our opinion is on the matter, you know, send us a message at the Two Kings podcast Facebook page.
Yeah.
Or Two Kings podcast at mail, mail.com.
Yes.
And, you know, we're willing to talk about anything. We've got more Q&As coming up this year. Going to focus on really what's going on in the now. Yep. More topical subjects, trying to record closer to launch dates so we have updated information and on anything we talk about. So,
and we had given some thought last year before the – we didn't anticipate last year, last June when we launched the Two Kings podcast, that we would still be sitting talking about the pandemic now. So one of the projects that we were trying to do last year of doing the day trip.
Yes.
And kind of doing some stuff outside of the studio for fun. That had to be put on hold. So we were actually just talking about it yesterday when we were out in the car of doing a lot more day trippy type things, and that perfectly lends itself to, you know, recording a little segment here and there while we're out for something fun. So yeah, it's a brand new season, new studio. Slightly new format. Hopefully you like the new format, a little more topical, a little more what's going on with us, and then we go into what we're doing for the week. Thank you as always for your continued support, and we're really happy to be back.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have been back recording. This was fun.
Yeah.
Went longer than expected, but yeah. I got rambling.
Thank you for mentioning that. That before we go, that is the other thing, is you will see that for the most part, our podcasts are going to be a little bit shorter this year. And it's just the reason for that is, you know, kind of all killer, no filler, I guess we kind of went. We're trying to not just be like to fill time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's gonna wrap it up for this week.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm glad you guys are back with us. Make sure you share the social media, subscribe on whichever platform you're using to listen to us. I know there's many. And as I always say, you know, take care of each other, wash your hands, wear a mask. Get the vaccine. It was not that bad. And it's been a while.
That was basically everything.
I forgot my own catchphrase.
No, it was wear a mask was the one that keep your hands to yourself and wear a damn mask.
Wear a damn mask.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, next Saturday, at 9 a.m. Where on the Two Kings podcast, where it is always Saturday. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.